the old signs and everything, and all the tables, and they're paying for it. And it's one guy.
You're recording, you're recording.
Recording property, he's throwing rocks.
It is now 5:30, and we'll call the meeting to order. And I'll go ahead and do the roll call. Romeo Ross here, Michael Armand Normand. Absent, Frank Cabello absent, Lauren Stone.
Present.
Down the line, Lou Pollock
here.
Lawrence Phillips.
Here.
Benjamin Epley.
Here.
Stephen Day. Hey, Jesus Arlo.
Here.
Okay, call to the public.
Barely made quorum today.
We just barely
have one. We have quorum. It won't last, though. Yeah. Okay. So we're going to pass on to the old business. Let's see. What time do we go? 5:30?
Yes, 5:30.
Right at 5:30, huh? I thought I was a little bit ahead of time here. Okay, no call to public. Old business. First item, paving update. What do we got here?
Not a whole lot. We haven't done any paving since we finished the terraces, but we have been doing some filling some potholes.
Yeah.
We're getting a little bit delayed with our schedule for potholing because of the rains. So we were planning on doing some more potholes this week, and we didn't get to do it because it's just too wet right now. So we shouldn't have any more rain for a couple more weeks, so we should be able to get to that next week.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure there's going to be an awful lot of people very happy with that.
Yeah.
Does the city have aggregate base available to them? Do we have an inventory of aggregate base anywhere?
No, we don't store any AB.
And we don't have a pile of it. I mean, we can't just dig a hole someplace and get some.
Oh no. That's a mix. There's a specification under the MAG, Maricopa Association of Governments.
Uh-huh.
That's the specifications we follow.
Uh-huh.
It's spec'd on the mix, so you need to get that from a manufacturer.
What about road mix for an RAMP?
Talking about millings?
No, a road mix patch it's not overlay material. It's not millings. It's there's criteria for it.
That's specified in the MAG specifications.
Okay.
When we get material, we tell them we want the MAG spec material.
You go sometimes. You'll drive by and. Highway department yard, and you'll see the guy on the blade going around in a circle making up the road mix. Have you ever witnessed that?
You're talking about maybe a cold mix?
Yeah, it's a cold mix.
We don't have any cold mix either.
Yeah.
We don't store a cold mix. What we do with our patching is we order a truckload of hot mix asphalt. And we go in there and we use up a load of hot mix with our potholing.
That's the best way to do it.
Cold mix will work for a short amount of time.
Yeah.
It works really good for a short amount of time until it starts to come up and the water gets in it. It goes real fast. Hot mix is best.
I was thinking kind of more along the lines of the shoulder of the road where there's some erosion, where maybe just some sand and gravel could be put in to kind of, bring the shoulder of the road up to grade.
We don't have, you know what you mean, putting down some AB, maybe grading the shoulder and bringing some of that material back up. We can do that, but we can put down AB. We have the ability to, and then go in and grading it and compacting it. We don't keep it on hand, though. When we need it, we just order it.
The local limestone here is fantastic for erosion.
What we do have is whenever we go pick up rocks, that sand, dirt material that comes down from the canyon, we do keep that.
Huh?
We use that to go back and fill in Zacatecas Canyon. We do use that for those types of materials. Most of that stuff has a lot bigger rock than we want to put down for a shoulder, but we do use that for different applications. We do keep it.
When the city of Bisbee did their flood remediation project, it was, what's the BCG? Is that what they call that? The BCG?
Oh, you're talking about in Tintown?
We're up on Campbell Avenue between First and what's the first road?
You're talking about the CBDG.
CBDG.
Yeah.
That is starting to erode off of what's the name of the first street there as you come under the underpass? It's on your left there.
Hello, where am I?
I need to learn the name of it.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Anyway, and first, there, as it comes down that hill, all of that CBDG asphalt is breaking away and sort of going down the hill. And if there was just some sand and gravel put there on the shoulder to remediate that erosion toward Bisbee Road, that asphalt would last a lot longer, I think.
Okay, I'll
take a look at it. We're working on the pavement update there.
Oh.
So far there's no paving done, but they're working on potholes, and with weather delays.
And also, I was curious about the other CBGB. Didn't they guarantee that for 10 or 15 years? Isn't there a guaranteed warranty on that one?
Well, it should have been designed for 20-year service life, including maintenance. It was put down. They made some mistakes in the construction, basically the water, how it's set up to run right down the middle of the street, you know. And there should have been a concrete trough there that was put in, but they didn't do it. And what you're talking about is the result of that failure to do that. But that's a good question that you brought up. But it's just you can look in your mag specs. But city streets and highways are meant to last for 20 years. And that was the big thing when we started, was that we weren't, the plan wasn't set for that, you know, 20 years. It's like they were doing the county, when they were doing the paving, they were doing what's called, they call the double chip. In the old days, they used to call it a macadam road, and it's just a lot of oil and a lot of rock, and you roll it over. And I hate to say this, but that work that the county did is holding up better than the actual 2-inch overlay that the city has done.
And when you say the city has done, you're talking about the contract work there in Bakerville?
Oh, I'm talking about just anywhere I use.
I think Larry Stone is referring to the Bakerville area.
Well, he is, but it's something that's going on wide. I've got two streets that I use for a unofficial test site. The street behind my house is a 2-inch overlay.
What street is that?
Adsit. And the street in front of my house is your double chip macadam done by the county. And the double chip done by the county is holding up a heck of a lot better than the Adsit street of the 2-inch overlay. Hazard Street has far more traffic. Adsit Street only has like 1, 2, 3 people that live on the street. That's all the traffic there is, and it's already cracking. It's dry. You can see that there's not enough oil in the asphalt, and it's just that's the way they're bringing the asphalt to us, saying that this is done according to the requirements of ADOT, and that's what they're telling us. And so, you know, the proof is the picture tells the story. You go look at it and you can see.
Wayland is the name of the street, that first one in Bakerville.
Wayland.
Between Campbell Avenue, between Wayland and First is eroding away. And there was no way that was a 2-inch asphalt job. It looked like it was 3/4 of an inch or something.
Yeah, it was a sort of a afterthought, appears.
Well, but the city, the grant paid good money for that. That was a $550,000 grant to get those.
Were you here when they did the paving with the grant?
Yes.
I don't recall that that street was ever finished by the grant. It was left undone for quite a while.
Well, I saw them pave it, but they didn't put the concrete curb runs in, if that's what they're called.
Yeah. And
the troughs?
Yeah.
The trough.
The troughs?
Troughs. They run down the center of the street. Yeah.
Concrete.
Oh, those are inverted crown roads with their balliners.
Yeah. Right in the middle of the street.
Well, some of those streets got on the edges of the street, got those concrete runs. Second Street got a concrete run all the way up to like America, down to Bisbee Road. And there was some of the other ones back. Pittsburgh does not have them. And anyway, my thought was that, what if it's too cold to pave, maybe we could put down some sand and gravel on the shoulders of some of these roads to get a little bit longer life out of them, where, you know, the water was just running off Campbell Avenue between Wayland and First.
That's something that we can look at.
Yep.
Whatever you do, don't kill or do anything about the Bermuda grass in the pavement and
worry,
because if you do, the roads are going to be gone in a week. It's the only thing holding the asphalt in place right now. I was just up there looking at it going, I'm like, okay. Those roads lasted 2 years.
Is there a system whereby work orders can be called in or submitted for areas that people are interested in?
Absolutely, there is. That's that's on our iWork program, the one we've been talking about forever.
Yeah,
you can. A citizen can go online on your phone, on your computer, and submit a work order request directly. You don't have to call in. You can do it yourself, and we receive those requests and determine the appropriate work that needs to be done.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can call into our office and we can input it too.
Okay. I works. Ben, you're a expert in that, aren't you?
I'm actually installing the app right now. I haven't opened it yet.
You can actually do it from a browser. It'll let you do it. But if you install the app, it will give you notifications. I think it does.
So, would you find it annoying if I just went around and
no
tagged every
absolutely
pothole?
Okay. No, absolutely not.
Because I feel guilty sometimes when I do that. When I did that with C-Quick Fix.
it helps. Okay. It helps our department when people do that, because we don't we don't get to see everything every day.
Okay.
There's times that we don't get to see them for an extended period of time, and so when we see that, it helps us to get to address those.
Okay.
And Ben, I would say that when you do that, you're actually doing committee work.
Yeah.
In there it says that's part of what we should be doing.
So when I download the app, it asks for agency code.
Yes, it's. I think it's. Let me see here. When I load into it, it should pop up. I'll look that up. I think I have it in my email too, but I can get it to you. I think it's like Bisbee 01.
The whole name, Bisbee?
I believe so. Let me look that up. I'll confirm with you all after this meeting.
Bisbee 01. Just try that Bisbee 01, Ben, and see if it... Well... I'm going to have to wait for the confirmation.
I'll confirm with it.
The reason I asked for the work request and everything else, and I understand the weather situation, but I personally am concerned about the potholes on two of our, I consider the show streets, East Vista and West Vista, because there's an awful lot of people that come in from out of town.
That is on our list to address those. In fact, I believe there's already work orders in our system for those.
Good, yeah.
Can I ask a question about Vista? Remember when Mr. and Mrs. Bouchevet made a grant or something for enhancement at the park and the streets? Is that still going to happen, or did they change their mind?
I don't know, but that's not anywhere near.
You know what I'm talking about, Steve?
Well, I don't know about the streets. I know they put in the bocce ball courts. I know that they put in a bunch of playground equipment, but I don't know.
That's not anything to do with anything to do on what's on our agenda, can
you? The roads might be.
Just a question.
I don't think that included money for streets.
I don't think so. It was just recreational money for the park.
Okay.
That's the way things work anyway. Frank, we've been discussing the paving update.
Okay.
So far there's no paving going on. The pothole work has been delayed due to weather, just like your work has been delayed due to weather. And there is no storage of the city for hot makes or dirt. They order on an as-needed basis. Am I right there?
Correct. We order our material on an as-needed basis.
And the I-Works request for repairs is in place, and you can call in.
Nice.
And Jesus is getting an update on the agency code that shows up at a request. In the East Vista and West Vista, they do have active work orders in the bin.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So this is our last meeting with Larry, and he brought up a really good point.
About with me also.
What?
Yeah. They kicked me out. I got my walking paper.
That's item number new business.
Yeah. That's under new business.
Oh man.
Yeah. So, under functions and organization, there it is. It didn't appear. It was the and organization. And it says here.
Okay. Well, what I was going to say is Larry mentioned that the asphalt we're getting doesn't have enough oil in it, and it's not lasting the proper amount of time. A question to you, is there a way to, they say, oh, it matches a dot, whatever recipe, but is there a way of proving them that it doesn't? And then saying that you need to deliver us the proper stuff because we're paying for it and it's not lasting.
On-site testing. Mm-hmm. You can test at the batch plant, or you can test at the job site. It takes a qualified individual to do that. Mm-hmm. And you have to...
an engineer?
Yes, you have to. It's a...
There are labs. You pay for a lab to come out
and test that's the way to do it, on-site testing.
So I wonder how much that lab test costs, because...
I couldn't tell you.
I'm guessing we would only have to do it once or twice. They get red in the face, they say, okay, and then they stop doing that to us.
Well,
that's just my assumption.
Well, that's something, Ben, that, and this is just opinion on by myself, but, and I'm going to sound like I'm a bigot, but previous administrations didn't even have a clue on what that meant. And so the suppliers to the city of Bisbee knew that they could get away with anything.
Exactly.
And because nobody was going to hold their feet to the fire.
Right.
And we've come in the 10 years that we've been in existence, this committee, we have finally turned the corner and quality control actually is in the dictionary now, where it wasn't before. But that's what has to be done until the supplier, the vendor, says, okay, they ain't going to let us get away with it anymore. Mm-hmm. So that's what's got to be done. And I've got something that I have preached like John the Baptist since I first came to this committee, is that you've got to...
Well, we do have mag test. There it is, what you're talking about, isn't it, Ben?
Yep.
Mag test?
Yep.
Yeah. The reply is there is lab test both at the plants and on site, but there's a fee associated with that, those lab tests.
Yep.
And we'll have to look somewhere else to request that money for that. There is something in the budget there. Larry Stone will look into that.
Well, give you an example. Union Rock, who I used to work for, has a lab on their site, and they've got a qualified technician testing everything. Everything that comes out that gate is tested in their laboratory.
How do you get that information out here to the local user?
Well,
you have to go search for it.
You do, and you know that KE&G isn't going to pay for it.
Yeah.
And so...
Armita, what did you say was looking into that? You mentioned a name there. I didn't catch it. I'm sorry.
The people you used to work for.
Oh, Union Rock.
No. Yeah, the... let's see.
The supplier?
The supplier.
KE&G.
KE&G is our vendor here for asphalt.
You should be interested in that because they're providing the same asphalt to you as they are for the city of Bisbee.
Yep.
Yeah, I just, you mentioned somebody was looking into it, fees and costs, and I didn't catch the
cost
name.
You said to Larry Stones, or Larry, one of the Larrys was looking into the cost of...
one of the Larrys. I didn't catch the
name. The lab testing.
Okay. Yeah, because it comes up, the fees, the materials cost and everything like that is being summarized in the distribution of financials that we're pointing out.
Okay, thank
so,
you.
Is that a good hedgeway there into Segway. The financial update now? Have we had enough on the pavement update? Any other question? Larry?
Yeah, I'm
ready to go, huh? Okay, financial update. Larry Stone, you have anything on that?
Based on our discussion at our last meeting, when Ben was suggesting that there was a fixed percentage of contribution to the general fund by department, I kind of checked into the sanitation number, and their budget was $959,000, and the general fund internal services transfer was $6,900.
Is that the what you handed out?
Yes, that's what I handed out.
Okay, that's the handout. The handout that he came in with. It says
fiscal year ending 6/30/2019, the sanitation department has a $959,000 budget, and their contribution to the general fund is $6,902. That's about 1.3% of their budget. The sewer fund has a $3,900,000 budget, and their contribution to the general fund is $27,953, also 1.39%. Streets and Infrastructure has a $1,200,000 budget, and we're contributing $105,000. That's 11.48%. Previous year, it had been twice that. And the Public Works Administration, they have a $145,000 budget, and the General Fund Services is $1,381, or 1.505% of the budget. So the Streets and Infrastructure is bearing a disproportionately large amount of the contribution to the general fund, and the idea that transfers are something that every department has to pay for to support themselves isn't borne out by these figures.
Thank you for discovering that, Larry.
I've had suspicions about them using this amount, this money somehow, finagling it in the budget to use it to pay for things that it shouldn't be used to pay for.
Well, we can't.
That's a different story.
Yeah.
We shouldn't be paying 9 times what everybody else is for the same services. That money is being used for stuff other than that.
Have you presented this to any services?
No, I thought I'd present it tonight. And it just, as I say, the idea that the general fund isn't transferring money from the streets and infrastructure that the voters said should be used on highways or roadways, and it's not borne out by that data.
I think there is that on the... let's see, total expenditures...
I think that has to do with the ongoing discussion of city of Bisbee expenditure with comparison to budget on line item 21409998. Fund expenditure, general fund, internal services. That's where Larry made the reference, and it appears on that handout that he came up with of $105,444, which is 11.48% of the budget as compared to less than 2% for all the comparisons that he made, which include sanitation, sewer, and the public works admin. So, what you call that? An outstanding discriminatory rate, or
just it's disproportionately large, falling onto the streets and infrastructure committee money that's the taxpayers said should be spent on roads.
Okay,
roads and supporting
infrastructure.
Any other discussion on that handout and the question of the amount of money percentage wise that is being taken out of each department's or department's budget to transfer to the general fund?
I agree with Larry's assertion that it's disproportionately large, and I think it would be good to look into what the explanation is for that. Is it more manpower compared to the other ones? I kind of doubt it. Is it, I mean, that would, I think that would be the only thing, overhead, manpower, and retirement, and everything that goes with that. But a percentage is a percentage, so it's automatically proportionate to the overall budget.
You said the real significance that should be looked into. All other things is, if I may be so bold as to say, you know, we're just speculating as to why. Unless we know who came up with those amounts, and.
I mean,
I think in the past meetings, the subject of a disproportionate amount being transferred was brought up, and I am very thankful that Larry Stone came up with his handout tonight.
Mm-hmm. Larry, where'd you get the numbers for sanitation, sewer, and public works?
Well, it's public record information.
I have all the information.
I've got it right here, Lou. You can have my copies. I don't.
I guess you could have an item ago, maybe, but it might cost money. Have the finance department itemize what
the 105,000 specifically is used for?
So, just real quick, I'm looking at the Public Works Administration one, the bottom one.
Yeah.
You do have the budget correct, but when I go to the general fund's internal service transfer, it was budgeted to transfer $16,583.
I'm sorry, maybe I captured the 1 month instead of the annual on that one.
You did. You got the period, the 1 month.
Okay, and what's the real number there?
$16,583.
For Public Works Admin?
Yes.
Sorry, that was my error.
Let me check the...
16,583.
Let's see what the math is.
Let me check that one.
That would make it more than 10%, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that'd be more in line with what we're paying at the streets and infrastructure.
So we can't really conclude that the streets and infrastructure, well, that Public Works is getting dinged more than anybody else.
Let me see.
But we can open that subject.
Sewer fund is the same.
Okay.
So you captured the period actual. The budget that was budgeted for that was $335,442.
I've given my notes away. Thanks, sorry about that. So we're looking at the...
So if we go to the sewer fund, because that just comes up not next to my name.
Okay.
What was actually budgeted for the internal services transfer was $335.
Just a minute.
Or 300, okay.
Find the sewer fund, sanitation. Some of these are on two sides.
Mm-hmm. The sewer fund is on page 53 on the bottom sheet.
I'm not looking at that.
You go. The rest of you all won't have that because I only brought the streets. The streets ones.
No, that's a.
But I have them because it's in my budget book.
Expenditures comparison general.
But I think the question is a legitimate question.
Yeah, who we're answering right now. So if we do that percentage.
So for the Public Works Admin is 11.43%.
Yeah.
With the new number, which is within the margin of error, I'd say, with the other one, with the streets.
What are your numbers, Jesus, for that?
For the sewer fund, what was budgeted for internal services was
$335,442.
Divided by the total
sanitation.
Budget.
Maybe about
9%.
Budget sanitation.
Yeah, 8.6. That seems like it's a little bit lower. 8.6%. And the sanitation fund, the one that we were looking at as an example.
Yeah.
The budgeted internal services was $82,830.
Just slightly under 10%.
Then. All right, I'm sorry about that. I'm very embarrassed about this. I'm sorry.
No, it's easy when you're looking at all these numbers all over the place.
82,830.
Well, the apology is accepted, but the premise of what we're talking about is that now we have just looked at Public Works, right? And we're wondering if the disproportionate amount that we've been discussing is not a valid discussion with the remainder of the departments.
We can look at it the exact same way. Yeah. Every department has
It's streets is still the highest one.
Yeah.
By 3% for compared to sanitation and sewers. So, but I mean, it's less.
Three percent can be an awful lot of money.
Yeah.
Yes, it can. Especially when you don't have any.
Are these ones I gave you, Lou? You didn't hang on to any of them, did you?
I didn't know. Okay. Yeah, it'll pave a few streets. But if I did, I'll give them cash.
No, I'm looking at ones here I haven't seen before.
Or bolster a couple of retaining walls.
Most of the sections of streets that we go to overlay, they were about $20,000.
Yeah.
So.
A bracing, a retaining wall. Could do it before it falls for that much. No, we didn't.
All right.
But I think the question, I don't know if you understand my question and my comparison. That I'll say it in another way. Is Public Works being picked on compared to the other departments in the City of Bisbee organization for a disproportionate amount? I think that is really the biggest issue there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Well, since I've made such a great start on this, why don't I look into that and report to the next meeting?
Yeah, I think maybe, you know, and it's a good idea, because I think the general consensus when we first started, Larry was here, was that we wanted to make sure that the 1% sales tax was used for over and above the normal budget, because we already had enough money supposedly to cover the other stuff. We shouldn't be using this money to cover things that would have normally been covered otherwise before. Now that there's shortfalls in the new, in that part of the budget, it seems like what maybe these people are saying, it looks like we've been disproportionately hacked a little bit extra money this time around to try and cover for the shortfalls in other areas of the budget, which might not set too well with a voting public who wanted the money to be used to fix streets with and not balance budgets elsewhere. That's us.
There is a handout.
So real quick, just to add, because you guys were talking about the percentage and stuff. I found the entire report. As an example, and this is just giving you information, the city manager's budget, there is an internal transfer of 8.7%. So that's just picking one out that's not public work.
Okay. And I think Ben...
30% less than what we're paying.
Ben made the discussion that some of the other... line items referenced here in this handout by Larry Stone, they were all roughly in the neighborhood of 3% less than streets. And what you just reported is that the manager's budget is 3% less.
So, ours is at 12 and that's an 8. That's like a 30% difference. That is definitely disproportionate. With a margin of error of like 10% would be.
So,
between 9 and 11, I'd see okay, but so we're way
over. You can put that natural color back in your
I looked at this stuff twice. You know, more carefully. I'm sorry.
Here, just one last one, just to compare it up. When I looked at the finance department, they're at 8.7%.
Okay.
So, there we go.
Uh-huh.
This is, can you do that across the board?
Not now. Yeah, everybody can. It's public record, but...
9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 11, and a half, 12.
Well, the numbers are what the numbers are. It's good to know what the numbers are if you're going to talk about it, so it would be a good thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
That adds and sort of works with the idea that we were working on, and the subject came up, I think, last meeting or previous meetings, on this disproportionate rate that was being charged in the streets. So the work continues, Larry.
You give me good numbers, I'm not afraid to ask the question.
I think we got the concept down here. We just got to,
we're just looking for more money to fix streets with, but we're not trying to get anybody in trouble or saying, oh, you guys are bad. We're just like, less money spent on that, more money gets paid,
when
gets
you come
into the street
into
paved.
When you come into this world, you are born into trouble.
Oh, you must be Buddhist. This whole life, human life is suffering, period.
Make of it what you will.
Now, in this handout that you gave up there,
yes,
talks about streets. And forgive me for trying to make sense out of what is being said here, that street turf tax revenue is over budget at 79.5 due to an additional distribution mentioned in previous report, in previous notes. So that means that, what exactly does that 79.5 mean?
That means that, it means that, so if we go over into the street, this, the sheets that have all the numbers, and we go into the revenues, if you look at line item, it says, the very first one in our revenue, it means that we're projected to be near the, well, what it means is that right now we are at 34% of our budget year. We've already received 79.5% of our entire budgeted income, what they predicted to make, bring in from HERF. So we're ahead of schedule on that.
Oh, so that means you gotta work harder now to spend all that money.
Next year. That's what it means, yes.
Next year?
Yes, sir.
So basically 50% through the fiscal year, we've got 79% of the expected income from HERF, so we're probably gonna end up with
more
money than we expected.
Yes, we are. That's exactly what it means. So what that means is whatever money we have over, they should be rolling, the next budget year, we should be rolling that into our...
But
now here's another thing, I just looked at. Well, any of those people, we've tried to save HERF money, but as we've seen over the past decade, the state will come in every so often and just flush your fund out if they don't think you're using it. So we should probably think about using that money as fast as quickly possible. Well, if you come in, the state does come in and take HERF fund.
I can use it on July 1, I have a $1.2 million project I can spend it all on.
That's right.
We just have to be careful because it happened to us. It happened to us a few years back when we came in and they did a sweep, and we lost money that we thought we had, which might be where a lot of this stuff started. This
I'm not sure where it
may have happened because that's about the same time.
To answer your question, Mr. Ross, that's what it means is that we're ahead of our projected income for that.
But could you add contract? Couldn't you and do more work by contract or add on? Last meeting, I brought up the subject of added personnel on a temporary contract basis.
We can absolutely do that. However, we can't spend more than what is budgeted. So even though we have more money coming in than we predicted or we expected, we can't spend it until July 1.
Okay.
We take that money that we got, that we put it into the budget, and then we can spend it.
My idea is like now we see we're going to be ahead. That maybe predictive. You have to be predictive, but yeah. Maybe start thinking of some projects we can use next year for a little bit of the extra money, so it doesn't get swept 3 years.
I have one that I can spend on July 1.
$1.2 million
to do that, to do a green asphalt overlay. We could probably do a regular overlay for less than that, but that's something that we would consider.
That green asphalt. Well, yeah, because the other one, what do you think? To do a 2-inch overlay, all that grinding and stuff.
Yeah, they'll do a 2-inch overlay, and in sections they have to. There are areas that they would have to mill.
Yeah, because in old town, there's all sorts of weird stuff right under the top there.
So that we definitely make a good point is that we know that we're going to have a larger budget next year, and we should be ready for it.
Well, you got a lot of confidence in what's all going to happen around here. Based on what I've seen in the last 6 months, I have no confidence at all that you're going to have that $1.2 million available to you.
I don't know exactly how much I have, but I'm going to try to do better than I have. The reason I do these and get pricing on them is when we go in the budget year, I can say I need $1.2 million to do this. You can't, $800,000 ain't going to cut it. I need more. Let's start moving some monies around.
Yeah. So that's That's what that means there.
Yes, it does.
The 1% sales tax increase revenue is at budget, meaning a net revenue over expenses of
$91,145. Yes, and that's the money I've mentioned in the past, that we have some money that we can use for our paving. It's just too cold for now, so that money that we got left in our streets material.
So there's a fund balance of $244,323.
That doesn't make sense.
The fund balance, what that means is how much is left. That doesn't mean it's what's available. It's what's in the bank.
Yeah, it's actually what's in the bank. It might not be. It might actually be spent already.
No, it's not spent already. What that means is the fund balance is what was left over. So you know when we had some money left over at the beginning of the fiscal, we had like $140,000 or something. Mm-hmm. We couldn't spend that. That's our fund balance. So when we take that fund balance and put it into our budget next year, now we can spend it. So when we go at the end of the year, when we have that extra HERF money that we can't spend, that goes into the fund balance.
So that's what this
put it in there. That we
that's what that $244,000.
Yes.
That's the balance. That means next year we're starting with this.
Plus whatever we get.
Plus whatever this revenue.
Yes, that's what that means.
So we can actually okay, that's fine. Cool. I'm getting a lesson. Love it. Thank you.
Yes, learning.
Yeah. So this.
So what we
have left to spend this year is the $91,000. So we can take that and we can do as many roads as we can.
So a little light.
Now that it makes sense, I'm going to back off.
Because I was looking at other numbers, and I guess when is the revenue here is revenues. 1% tax increase. The revenue is year to date is $247,534.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. The period, I'm looking at the October 31st, by the way. The period says the actual for the period for, I guess, October was $56,000. But you still have an unearned portion of the budget of $505,465. Somehow, I've got to make this comment that somehow this figure seems to have changed since the July figures. And my perception is that the good public works angel, if we got one, came along and put the budget at the right level where it should be.
From what I recall, the last few months of the that we've gotten the financial reports, the compensated sales tax income has always been very close to the percentage of the year that it expired. So we've always been very close to that, being at 32.9, so nearly 33%, and 34% of the year has passed. Mm-hmm. That's extremely close. That's some good estimating.
Good.
You know, I'm kind of looking at that too here as far as here on the line item. It says street repair maintenance from sales tax. That's really great. We budgeted $500,000. We've spent $222,000 so far, which is like 55.5%. So we're a little bit ahead of the payment there, but we still got money left.
But yes,
next year it would be basically, so what you're saying is, so next year we could say like maybe go to $700,000 for street repair in the budget because we have this extra $255,000.
Yes.
All else remaining.
That's exactly what should happen.
So now I can see that. And now I can kind of appreciate the headache you guys have to go through to create a budget because you've got to kind of see that.
Well, this one is going to be an easy one for us.
Yeah. Well, you don't want to overspend.
It's the other ones where we have to cut.
Yeah.
Well, you want to be close, but you want to like spend less than you receive. You know, it's kind of like doing income tax. You want to have a little bit of money that they keep for you and maybe get a small return. But if you have to keep too much money and get a giant return, you're actually shooting yourself in the foot because you could have been using that money during the year.
So yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah,
bad
I
don't
complain as much now.
But I might say that it's very, very, very rewarding to see the reports coming out of finance here, whereas last year and the previous years in our history, we have never had this kind of reporting so we can keep track of it and help the department head, Mr. Jesus Otto, in the discussion as to whether or not it's going on there and so on. Financial update. Any other comments? Okay. Discussion on small training on road pavement assessment.
I don't have anything additional to that other than if you guys, I know I handed out that sheet. I don't have any with me right now, but if we can, I can always reprint that. And again, be more extremely appreciative if at all, anytime you all want to try to go and do some road assessments, we'll set them up.
Yeah, I know I got your phone number. I've been really super busy lately. Yeah.
No worries.
We'll get to that. Yeah, probably after the holidays.
Is the system that you passed out and everything else formulated in such a manner that individual can go out and do that and back report? Or do you want to be really personally present and involved in it?
I don't need to be there all the time. What I would like to do is try to keep that within this group and then my staff, so that way we don't have somebody off, a citizen want to come in and say, I'd like to help. I don't want too many opinions, you know. It's still a subjective assessment. But if we're doing this together, we all understand what we're looking for and how to assess them. That's where I want to be. I want to make sure that we as a group that are doing this is consistent with that. I don't want to open it up where we have just volunteers coming off the street. They may have an agenda that's different from what this group's is. And I believe that this group is, their agenda is to
fix streets.
Yeah.
Well, if I can throw in a little observation here, it goes all the way back to when I used to do personal evaluations for ADOT. We found that the best way to do it is the adversarial system. In other words, two or more get out and they literally argue about it. They say it should be rated a 5 because of blah blah blah, and then the other one says no, it should be a 4 because of blah blah blah, and then you argue back and forth and you come to a consensus and then you move on and then you go back over, and that way everything gets talked about. You know, and things that one individual might not see or miss, somebody else will. But you come to a consensus before you move on. And that way everything gets discussed. It's just not a wham bam, thank you ma'am, and we're out of here to the next observation site. And that's what takes time. But that's the way we did it on our first evaluation, our first survey, and again, I'm going to say that the PARA study just corroborated our original data. It's pretty darn close. There are a couple of exceptions, but we were right on. We did a good job when we first surveyed.
And I think that's a very good suggestion, and I think we should do that. I'm gonna should have
more than one person going out.
Two people
at a time. So that's what you're talking about. Having more than one person.
So that there isn't one person that's, you know, this is my road, I want, you know. Two people have agreed upon what it should be. I like that, and I'll implement that.
Yeah, you don't want to turn it into a bar fight or a street brawl, but you want to, you want to make sure that everything gets covered, everything gets discussed, and once you've got your criteria established, stick to it. don't change your criteria. Stay with it.
I think it would be good to see if there's a criteria already out there for retaining walls.
There is.
So things like concrete that has decomposed, there's no more lime in it, it's falling, it's cracking. The degree of lean, either way, so if it's supposed to be vertical and it's leaning out 2 degrees, maybe that's okay, but if it's leaning out 4 degrees, maybe that's an issue. So those sorts of things I think would be good to look into, because the risks on that are far greater than potholes.
They are. If I can comment on what Ben said, is that maybe if there is grant money starting to loosen up a little bit, we could get another grant from ADOT to conduct another PARA study, an updated PARA study, because it has been a long time since the original PARA study was done.
Yeah.
And at the time that the original PARA study was done, the average remaining service life of the average retaining wall in Old Bisbee was 8 years. That's what the structural engineer for Wilbur Smith told me when the two of us were out inventorying the bridges, the walls, and the stairs. And it's been more than 8 years. So we're on borrowed time on that. But if we could get another $250,000 or something from ADOT, get another PARA study done, it'd be nice to have Wilbur Smith do it again, just for consistency's sake.
Wasn't that PARA study?
They're kind of a little bit off subject on this agenda. This agenda item was about the pavement assessment, not the walls.
Yeah, we are. We're wandering a little bit. Yes, we are.
Okay.
Ain't no doubt.
But anyway,
about it.
To close, any other discussion on the pavement assessment? Close that subject. And say, even though it may not have been on the agenda, Ben's question on the criteria on retaining walls should be looked into.
I can put it on.
See if there's any criteria.
Yeah, and maybe we can put it on the next agenda to discuss the criteria for evaluation.
Okay, let's go on to the next.
Grant stuff.
Let's go on to the next big one, five-star discussion item. Discussion functions, it's not function and organization of Streets and Infrastructure Commission. It should read functions and organization of the Streets and Infrastructure Committee. Now I'll start this one, and the reason why it's on there, because I looked at our roster of people, and there are three people for the committee that are up for either continuance or discharge. I am one of the people that have gotten my walking papers. I can no longer participate after January 15th of 2020. And this is, unfortunately, and this is from the mayor's, I am faced with the fact that City Code 2.8.1, parenthesis C, close parenthesis, states that an individual may only serve 3 consecutive terms in a committee, and regrettably, I am informed that you have served 4 to date, 11 years. Okay, so other people that are coming up for end of term in 2020, January 15th of 2020, is Frank Cabello, Michael Normand, myself, and I think there's going to be one more person missing from the roster. And I'll let him speak for himself before we go on. You want to bring it up now, Larry?
Well, I just got my letter here, and it's short and sweet. I'm not a orator, but it's just to the mayor. And it states, this letter is to announce my resignation from the Street and Infrastructure Committee. My term is finished, and I have determined that I have nothing more to bring to the committee. Sincerely, me. And that's true. You guys don't need me anymore. We have the department is in very capable hands. Every time I come up with an idea, he's already been there and he's two steps ahead of me. So you don't need me anymore. I am not a financial type or a bean counter or anything like that. I'm a field hand, and that's what I do. And when I started out, and I'm not bragging, I'm just stating a fact, was that the original survey was my creation. I hand drew the data entry sheets. I did the entire survey myself. I walked every street in Bisbee, 56 miles of it. And so there's nothing more that I can do. Like I said, the department is in very capable hands, and Jesus, I hope they're good to you.
Thank you.
And I just will say this. It's my parting thought to you guys is, one, keep the faith. Protect this fund. This is the taxpayers' money, and they expect things to be done. And the other thing is, don't get mired down in small little petty things. Keep the big picture. The big picture is always what needs to, it will determine how successful you are. So that's the only thing that I have to say, and I've enjoyed my work and everything. My mentor here has taught me a lot, and I hope that I have been an asset to this committee and to the community.
We got some work to do.
Thanks, Larry.
Thank you, Larry.
So, as far as my membership goes, I think, Larry, you want an immediate resignation, do you?
Well, if there's something happens before the end of the month, maybe I can help, but I'm going to be pretty busy. I've got a lot of things going on right now. I forgot all about this meeting, and I'm sitting there eating some leftovers out of the refrigerator, and there's Tito at the door going, come on, man, we got to go.
Yeah, I almost forgot my phone. I made my calendar to go bing. That's 31 minutes away from that time.
I used to belong to an organization where when you left your position, you were kind of asked to recreate yourself by, you know, finding someone else to fill your position. We're going to be shorthanded here after the 15th of January. If you all know anyone that has interest in streets and infrastructure, by all means, mention to them that, you know, there's positions open.
Here will be too.
Well, I will if I encounter
you. You just have to wait 3 years and then you can come back. It's just consecutive, see? You've got to take a break.
Yeah. In 3 years, I'll be 78, and I'm not
so the purpose of the discussion of the functions and organization of Streets and Infrastructure Committee goes, the intent was to go a little bit beyond just letting you folks know as to who is and who isn't going to be. And I think for Frank, I think it's necessary if you're going to extend that you put in a request for extension.
Yes, sir.
Stephen Day can tell you all about it. He's been extending all along now.
Yeah, I did my 2 years. I've got it not this year. I got to go again next year.
Mm-hmm. So
you just go down to City Hall. I think you just ask for a form and you fill it out. Mm-hmm.
It's going to leave, the organization here is going to leave after the 15th. It's going to leave Stephen Day, Ben Lepley, Larry Stone. there's going to be, there's going to be one, two, three, four that are going to be, you know. So, Michael, Norman, are you seeing those? The discussion goes along with that, if you know. So, for the purpose of tonight's discussion, you know, if you have any impression, any feeling, or whatever, whether if you're going to continue or term out here on the 15th of January. Mm-hmm. So, and I know I can't ask for an extension. They've already told me. I got my walking papers, so that's only going to leave, like I said, with the exception if Mr. Cabello doesn't extend and Michael, Mr. Norman doesn't extend, there's just going to leave three people in the committee.
Which means no quorum, which means it's not a committee. Okay, you got the four for a quorum in this committee?
Quorum. Read your ordinance. You're associating a committee with a quorum. Committee is one thing and a quorum is something else.
Well, in order for the committee to be with open meeting laws, it has to have a minimum number of members present.
But it does not preclude the remaining members of the committee to continue to work with the Public Works Department.
Okay. Right. So, no, the committee can continue to exist. We just can't make no decisions.
Well, just takes a little bit. Just takes a little bit of time.
Well, quorum is more than half of the committee.
Four out of the seven.
The committee stays at seven, even though there's three of the
arcane.
That's
not going to be an issue. We'll get them there.
You don't have a quorum number of members, you can't discuss things in an open meeting.
When the time is right, the teacher will appear. And Mr. Wepley here is an example of that. He came to us and
the city was requesting the paper too.
Yes, right?
This is one of the more important committees, and we'll
stay away.
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. So, and basically, the ordinance also says that the committee will organize themselves according to their desire. They're the ones that are going to organize how they want to organize, like who's going to run the.
He's going to do what he did.
Chairman and the vice chairman and what have you.
Well, can I ask a question here?
Sure.
What if you can't get replacements to get you back to seven members? Can you redefine the committee to have like five
the
members?
The city council would have to redefine that. So
but it could be done.
Would have to reduce it to a five-member committee. Mm-hmm. That's their desire. They can do
or to a three-member committee or whatever.
I would assume that they would ask my opinion, but they get to make that decision. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So they can establish whatever, revise the ordinance.
They can absolutely
to however many people they want in the committee.
Maybe decide that they don't need the committee, I guess.
He won't let it happen.
I'm sure that's not even in the works.
Yeah. So that's the comment there that I've got in the discussion of function and organization of the streets and infrastructure, and if you all haven't gotten it. Let me give you my parting shot here. Do review the ordinance that set it up. I thought I had it with me. I was going to mention it, but the number on it. But do review it. Get an idea, you know, and because in there it will explain, and for my satisfaction. it will tell you just how much of a responsibility we have really had in looking for and arguing for the availability of tax dollars to the Public Works Department, Streets Department, Public Works Department, to do the and finish out the plan that is in place, and any addendums, additions to the plan that the Public Works Director wishes to add to that plan. I think somebody brought up the spirit of the intent of the spirit of the funding for public works, and why the 1 cent sales tax was put into place. Summary, there were other discussions about how to raise the fund, bonds, including improvement districts, and over the time I have discussed that some, I'm not trying to say don't encourage or don't discourage improvement districts. I have been on the other side of that, says encourage improvement districts where the district has the opportunity to raise their own funds and pay for their own way. I won't mention any definite district or area or whatever, but the historic district should be looking into that very, very sincerely, instead of looking at the public works and saying that the public works is going to take care of them, because it just won't happen in perpetuity. It can't, because there's not going to be any money, no source, if the sales tax flattens out and goes away, and it will go away. On the first day of March of 2023, it's over. So, any other comments on the organization and function?
I think it should be put in the calendar, maybe in 2021, to start organizing for renewing the sales tax.
Yep.
And maybe clarifying, the bounds of what the funding is a little bit more, or keeping it open. I mean, we can discuss that.
Yeah.
So, mm-hmm. I'm happy with how it's clarified now.
But it's always open for discussion, Ben, as you well know. And pleased that you brought that subject up. And don't lose track, like Larry says. Larry Phillips says, don't lose track of what you have here. It's quite an asset to have that money, a source of revenue available. I don't have anything else.
Well, I'll throw in one thing, and behind you is remember the voter, and remember how we got here. When we first made our proposal, we lost. We went to the voters and we lost. Everybody was against us, including the Chamber of Commerce, shot us down. We bided our time, and we came back, and we won. And what I'm getting at is the voter in Bisbee is a skeptical and fickle voter. And if you want to have your 1 cent on the dollar sales tax increase reinstated, you've got to put something up, something physical and tangible that the public can see, or else they'll vote you down in a hot minute. So that's just a little word to the wise. You've got to put up. You've got to have something to show for it. And that's why it's kind of like the old joke about the vacuum cleaner salesman. You let him get his foot in the door, and before you know it, you got a vacuum cleaner. And it's the same way with this encroachment onto the Public Works Department money. You got to guard this money. You got to protect it, because if you let them get away with it, a government bureaucrat is a government bureaucrat, and they're going to come after your money unless you've got control of it, and they know they can't fool you around. And I hate to sound like a skeptic or whatever, but...
Well, you've lived in Pittsburgh long enough to...
That's the way it is here.
I ran the campaign the second time. They were skeptical. We had to make changes. And we were... By the time that election was over, and this is because I ran election, I deal with election people, there were people from around the state that were amazed that anybody in this state voted to raise themselves
a
tax.
That is true.
We were like,
that's true.
What did you guys do to get people to vote for you to get a tax increase? We were like an amazement. And so all we could tell them is we were just honest with the people and told them this is what we wanted the money for. And David Smith was involved in it, but I'm kind of getting off track here.
Yeah. And we're ready, we'll go
that
over
kind of,
member
that
comments.
Just for organization, that's how we're
ready for member comments? Who wants to start? Fred.
We'll comment.
You're looking forward to continuing after January?
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much. Michael.
I just want to say thank you to you and Larry for your dedication to the committee and getting the streets paved, you know, driving around the community, you see a lot of newly paved streets, and so appreciate, as a citizen, appreciate the work that you guys all put into it.
You think you're going to be extended beyond 2020?
I'm probably not. I'm okay. I'm not a chance.
Well, they're going to need you, Mike, so I hope you reconsider.
Well, I'll take it under advisement.
There you go. Stephen Day, comments?
Yes, well, it's been good working with you guys. And in fact, probably 90% of what I know about this committee and how to deal with it is based on because of YouTube.
They
let me butt heads quite a bit during the time. It's been wonderful working with you. You've taught me everything I know. I really, really going to miss you guys.
The one thing about Stephen Day that very few people may know and needs to be restated, we really worked, and he was the mainstay in the presenting our effort in trying to convince people that prudent use of the weed control. He did a hell of a presentation, unfortunately. They chose not to do it, which is democracy at work.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think I myself personally thank you for that effort, Steve. Okay, Benjamin.
Thank you both for everything you've done. I've learned a lot about paving, especially from Larry, and all of that stuff. And wish you guys weren't leaving, but we'll make do. And
I like that attitude. I think it's a good attitude. Stay with it. And you have been one of the, if I don't mind using the word pioneer in some of the new innovations that have come into play here, like the iWorks and what have you. And you really opened up, or at least opened up my eyes to the potential of coming in with new tech.
The parking thing.
Yeah. It's good, okay? Larry, you want to add to what you already said?
Well, I want to say this, is when it comes to time for you guys to select a new chairman and vice chairman, it's been my contention that in order to give the committee real credence when you're dealing with the city government or an outside entity, try to have a professional man or woman as your chairman. And if you can get a professional licensed engineer or a former public works director like Mr. Ross here, it just gives the committee credence to where people can say, you know, the old thing, well, who are you? You're not an engineer. Well, yes, I am. And we know what we're talking about. So just kind of keep that in mind. And You know, there's no reason why an architect can't become a civil engineer too.
Now, in the issue of a professional, I agree with a professional should be here, but I'm going to add to that the profession does not necessarily have to be in the discipline of civil engineering.
No.
Or that nature. It has to be a professional that has worked at a profession that understands and can work and function with the intent of the organization, and what the organization is working for, and what they hope to accomplish. So, thank you, Larry, for those words. Next I have here Lawrence Stone.
We still have one more meeting where we can all work together in January.
No.
Before the 15th of January? Mm-hmm. When's the next meeting?
The 23rd.
Thursday of January.
It's the last Thursday of January.
Oh, well, then I just want to say, how much it's I've learned from both of you, and thank you for your contribution, and you'll be sorely missed. And I also want to apologize for my error on those numbers tonight. I'll be much more careful in the future.
Your natural color becomes a whole lot better.
Yeah, I know. Can you believe I'm as old as I am and I still blush?
When you mentioned that there's still one more meeting, the departure date, the termination date is the 15th of January. If there is a particular subject matter that you think is urgent enough to get the whole committee that is currently present together before the 15th, please bring it forth, discuss it with the Public Works Director, and see where we go on that tech so that you can have a valid vote on that urgent or degree of urgency that you feel is there and necessary to look into.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. One thing, I was looking through my briefcase the other day, and I've got so much stuff in there. And if anybody wants all of my original handwritten material from the beginning, they can have it. All you got to do is come and get it, and I'll give it all to you. That way I don't have to burn it in the fireplace.
What is it? Well, sketches or something?
No, it's just data entry sheets and information and ramblings of a madman and things like that.
Actually, the last Thursday of the month is the 30th. There's five Thursdays next month. So we have the 23rd of
the 30th.
The 30th?
I believe it's the
30th. Okay. And that leaves myself. I won't make any more comments than what I've said. I'll be very pleased to have worked at the this committee. And one thing for the record, Larry mentioned Public Works. I did work with the City of Bisbee goodness gracious, 30 years ago. And at that time, it was sort of one of my intentions and one of my dreams, you might want to call it, to have a streets crew such as you have, with all the equipment and everything else, to be able to do what is necessary to do in the department. And when the opportunity came about that the city decided to buy the equipment and put it together and put a group, I looked to the heavens and I said, thank you for making my dream come true. As I, when I originally came to Bisbee, it was to help people that they worked here, and they were indeed in the worst shape of condition of funding back then. Some 30 years ago. Okay, Lawrence, Jesus?
I do have a few comments. First, I do want to thank Mr. Ross and Mr. Phillips for the work that you guys have put into this committee. I'd like to thank specifically Mr. Phillips for the kind words that you were talking about in my department. I'm not quite sure if you all know, but on the 21st of, so it's next Saturday, we're going to be having a Ward 1 community meeting regarding parking. So I want to invite all of you all, since you all support streets and infrastructure, and I will notify the Parks Department to put out that there may be a possible quorum with if you all show up, so that way we're not leaving anybody out. I mean, if you guys are all, please come. You might be able to help out with some questions that people may have, maybe just listen and give us some of your input also. This is for parking in Old Bisbee. Just an update on since the last time we met, the city council chose to pull the changing of shear, the one-way direction, it pulled it. And this meeting coming up is a result of that, so we can discuss that. So that's not going to happen right now. It's still May, but they want some input from the community. Another update on some walls that you guys may or may not have heard of. We've had two additional walls that have fallen. One was on, I believe...
One was on Shear.
It was on Shear. Uh-huh. And one is on Opera. That address was 139 Opera. Both of those walls are not the city's responsibility. We did our best to make those areas safe when they happened. But and then there's a third wall further up. I believe I can give you the address, but it's on Opera at the end. There's two houses there at the end. Let me look up the address, because I know we just got today an email.
I heard about something about that.
It's 232 up. That wall's in pretty bad shape. On the back side of that wall, there's now a hole where water's going in, and that's could be the beginning of the end of those. So we're gonna condemn those. We're gonna block them off, and then we're going to notify the owner of a notice of violation on those. Again, that's another wall that's not our responsibility, but we don't want any. But there is a walkway between those two walls, and we're going to block that off too, so we don't want anybody out.
Okay, that might have been one, because someone told me that there was something up there where they pulled the occupancy permits for a couple of houses because the retaining walls were about ready to let the...
Yes, that's the one we're doing.
Okay. There's one retaining wall that has been in failure for I don't know how long on Tembe, Ben, a few streets, and the only thing that I can think of is that attention needs to be paid there so that the debris from that lot, that private lot, does not come into the street and obstruct the traffic and go on and keep on falling onto the below the street to the neighbors below.
The last thing I have is I did receive the draft final report for the repair that's going to be needed at the drainage channel between Star Avenue and Moon Canyon.
No, not yet.
So we have that draft. We should be receiving the final report with soon. So
I do run into Wayne's house.
Yeah, that's the one. Other than that, I have no other comments.
On that channel, is there something that you can give us an idea, good, bad, or indifferent?
I haven't finished reading it. I'm still going through it. The only thing that came with so far was interesting to me was in the report it says that during the 100-year flood event that channel can't hold water within the walls, that it would overflow.
But that's an interesting part of the channel because the house side of there is lower.
Mm-hmm.
Then most of the way down.
Yes, like that's, a, why yeah, that's why that area is in a special
place. And then there's the parking lot and then the walls to the houses. So that's so, that one low section.
That was all I had. I don't think there was any other additional updates I needed to give you all.
Well, I appreciate that very much. We don't want to forget you, Lou.
Thank you. Tito, how long did you say you've been on the count on this committee?
According to their count, it's 11 years.
11 years. And Larry, how long have you been?
Same time. We started together.
They just didn't put down the appointment dates correctly on here, on the roster.
Well, on behalf of the City Council, I'd like to thank you for your service to this community, both of you.
You're welcome.
You guys are old school. I believe in old school. You're going to be missed. You'll be hard to replace.
Well, thank you for the kind words, Lou.
You're welcome.
But throughout my career and many places that I've worked, I've always heard the comments from people that says, don't forget, don't be wise, you can be replaced.
So time does so, that.
With that comment in mind, I leave with a confidence that there will be good replacements for the people that are leaving the committee here next month. Myself, Larry Phillips.
Now, we can find people that can do a good job there, but we can never replace you two guys.
Well, that is true then.
Well, the talent pool here in Bisbee is, in the professions, is pretty good.
There's
a lot of retirees here who have done their work and have got plenty of experience. And it's like a guy asked me one time, he says, why do you want this job? And I said, well, it's a matter of life and death. And he said, what do you mean? I said, well, if I don't get out of the house, my old lady's going to shoot me. So you might find some guy in the same situation.
But don't overlook what he just said. There's a lot of talent out there that they're retired, both professional and skilled. In what you want them to do.
I meet them every day.
Yeah, there you go.
Every day.
There's a good testament right there for Mr. Cabello that they do exist. All you got to do is ask them to participate. Thank you. Next meeting, January 30th. And by the way, the word is out that next year the meetings are going to be every 2 months instead of monthly.
Every other month. Is
that doesn't mean that the committee cannot meet at their will. That's my recommendation. At your will, we can meet when
you can ask for emergency.
And follow the same rules, open meeting law and work sessions and what have you.
One other thing I want to throw in, and then I am going to shut up, is we have found over time that the non-quorum work sessions really work, because the fact that you don't have a quorum, you can free range. And this committee deals with things other than what the normal politicians and bureaucrats deal with. And I fail to see where anyone is being disenfranchised when the subject is the consistency of dirt. That's what I mean, you know. So to me, unless this open meeting law, unless somebody's being taken advantage of or some process is being circumvented, that's what it's for. Not for, because you can't sit down and thoroughly discuss what needs to be discussed and have this open meeting law hanging over your head. So the way to get around that, use your non-quorum work sessions. You can rotate your members in and out, or you can rely on a couple of the guys that you can trust and know is going to bring the proper data, and use your work session to set your agenda for your meeting where you must stick to your agenda. But if you've got to have free-ranging ideas, because some guy will say something and it'll set a trigger in your brain, and you go, yeah, we need to talk about that.
In other words, he's talking about a brainstorming sessions that take place. Mm-hmm. And when he used the word circumvent, that open meeting law, it's not intended to get away from it. It's intended to find a way in which you can have that brainstorming. And you gotta also recognize that never has this committee ever done anything that did not require approval at the higher level, not at the working level that we're at. And we can say by that virtue, other than somebody calling us and saying, hey, it's not on the agenda. Other than that, we've never have violated the open meeting law on that basis.
No, and you are allowed to discuss things out of the meeting and then talk to him about what you've discussed to put on an agenda.
Right.
And then to violate, then to be under open meeting law, then they can be discussed publicly. Right. But we're not violating
it. I appreciate the comments. And I move for adjournment.
I second it.
Meeting adjourned. Hey, look.
Yeah.
There you go. Only 1 hour and 35 minutes. Getting better. I can just keep my mouth shut.
Boy. Yeah. You're learning.